community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Now we've got in front of me a guy that I go back years with, don't I, Pete? We go back how many years?
More than we care to mention.
Right, a few years, yeah. With Peter Streams. This is Peter Streams from St Francis Hospice. And you're going to tell us exactly what's going on with the hospice at the moment, because I know you've got bundles of fun. I've just mentioned one, actually.
Yeah, I brought a suitcase full of stuff with me this morning.
You've got so much stuff going on.
Bear with me. I'm trying to find my right bits and pieces. But I think I should start off with something we've just been talking about, our consultation on our strategy. The hospice has been around for over 30 years now.
Has it?
In fact, this is our 31st year, and I think it's good for any organisation that's been around a while. Every so often, you need to sort of take a doing
going on. Redirect yourself.
Yeah, and obviously, it's not, you know, we're not working in isolation. We're working in a changing environment. You know, we've got many more people living in the area we serve. We've got people living a lot longer. We've got people, a lot of medical advances over the last 30 years, which is fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
But it also means that, to be absolutely blunt, people who might have died of, say, cancer in their 60s or 70s now live a lot longer.
Yeah,
and we have more people who maybe have cancer and Alzheimer's, or maybe have motor neurone disease or other issues that come up. So much more complex, people living a lot longer, and we've got to gear up and deal with that. And we've got to look forward as how we do cope with that.
Have you found that over the past 30 years, the problems that you're facing are different? Are there trends in problems as we're eating different types of food? And
I'm not sure it's that, but certainly the trend of living longer. There's a trend of, I think, probably many more people often being quite alone, left alone, or having to be in care homes for much longer than they used to be, or having carers needing to look after them at home because they've lost a partner. And again, you know, that's compounded if you're living much longer.
Yeah.
Families, probably, compared with, say, 30 years ago, more spread out across the country.
They are, yeah, you're
so
right.
So you don't often have, in many cases, you don't have a lot of family support locally. Often you find, again, people don't have that. And that puts more strain on organisations, social services, and everyone has to cope with those situations. I think it's a mix of things. Also, you know, people's attitudes have changed a lot over the last 30
years. Yeah, they have, totally.
Many more people, the vast majority of people, all the research shows this, in their last weeks and months of life, most people want to be at home. They want to be at home, you know, with their partner if they have one, or with their care or loved ones close by, or easily able to be with them at any time, day or night.
Which is not an easy thing to do,
no,
is it?
Especially the last place they want to be is an A&E ward.
That's right.
At a hospital.
Yeah, totally.
But the sad fact is that the majority of people do end up there. That's what does happen.
Yeah,
so
there's
obviously changing attitudes as to what should happen. Fortunately, and we think the hospice movement is part of this, people are much more concerned and more considerate about what is the right way to look after people at end of life, much more care about what is the right thing to do, and treating people with dignity. There's still a long way to go. I mean, there's been some horror stories about the type of care that people get in some care homes, nursing homes over the last few years.
Yeah.
And part of what we do at the hospice is have an education centre.
Yeah.
We put a lot of effort, particularly in the last couple of years, in training care home staff.
Oh, it's really?
Yes, called Gold Standards Framework.
I didn't realise that.
It's a special training program for care home staff as to how to deal with end-of-life issues, how to communicate with part of it.
It is.
It's just being able to have those conversations. I think, again, in the past, a lot of people tend to shy away from this.
They
it's
do.
Too embarrassing.
Yeah.
Don't want to talk about it.
They feel awkward.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, that's the reason we have things like Dying Matters Week. I mean, some people say, why do you do that? Well, we do it to confront some issues a lot of people don't want to talk about. And you get these crazy situations where, you know, you had it came up in a conversation yesterday. A couple in their 80s lived together for 60 years. Amazing. But neither of them knew what each other wanted when one of them was going to die.
Really?
They both thought they knew everything about each other.
Oh,
the thing they didn't
word.
Know, they had no idea.
Because they don't discuss
say,
it, do they?
Exactly. So one partner dies, and then they say, what type of funeral is it? They haven't got a clue.
Yeah,
they've
yeah.
never talked about any of these things. So it becomes a really stressful issue for all sorts
I can
of
imagine.
People. And in many cases, it may not be what the person really wanted. So we say, you know, a lot of these things need to be talked about, not just the final end, but also how do you want to be cared for in your last few months of life?
Yeah.
If you are frail and can't get out of bed, where do you want to be? Where do you want to be looked after?
Yeah.
How do you want that all to happen? So we try and confront those conversations, and we try and deal with these changing issues. So we've got to gear up. We've got to look at our volunteers. A lot of our volunteers have been with us for 30 years, done an amazing job.
Really?
We have hundreds and hundreds of volunteers who do all sorts of jobs for us.
I mean, I'm not surprised you get a lot of volunteers, because it's a job that pays in over and over again when you're helping somebody when there's no one else there to help them.
Absolutely. People get amazing things from it. And people can do amazing work for us in all sorts of different ways. Sometimes people think it's a hospice. You know, I don't really fancy sort of going around a ward talking to people who are terminally ill. Don't have to do that. You can help us out by working in our garden, doing DIY, driving people to our day therapy unit. You know, all sorts of jobs that people can do for us, and we rely on those people. Mm. But a lot of them have been doing it for an awful long time, doing it for many, many years. And we've got to look forward and say, over the next 5 years, how are we going to recruit new volunteers? Who's going to get involved with us as we go forward? What things are we doing well? What things could we do better? Or what things are we not doing at all but should consider? Hospice. So that's why we put this strategy vision together. It's a document that's available at any of our St Francis Hospice shops, and there are two of them in Brentwood High Street. But also for a lot of people, it's probably easy just to go online to our website, sfh.org.uk, right there on the homepage. You can't miss it. It talks about our strategy vision, and it gives a chance as a little simple online thing that you can fill in if you want to comment. Just really say, what do you think we do well? What do you think we could do better? Any other comments you want to put? And we're asking people to make those comments by the 14th of April. And that will shape our thinking in terms of how we go forward over the next 5 years. Already, you know, we've changed a lot over the last 30 years. So when we started out, people came to the hospice, and we had a traditional stroke hospital ward.
Yeah.
We still have that with 18 beds, but these days, 85% of the people we look after aren't in those beds. They're at home.
Home
or in their care.
So you have to go out
to
them.
We go to them.
Yeah, I never even realised you'd done that. I thought it was all in-house.
No. That's sort of the pinnacle of what we do. So we have an inpatient unit with beds. We have a day therapy unit where patients come, say, for 1 day a week. May come for several months. It may come for several months and then not need us because they may get a bit better and they may come back to us again later on. So again, it's a misnomer sometimes that people think, you know, you come to the hospice, that's it for the last few weeks of life. Not the case at all. People can come to our day therapy unit, picked up at home by drives them in 1 day a week. They can meet other people, maybe have a particular session about their particular issue or illness, can see a consultant, can see our staff, maybe have a massage, maybe have a special bath, maybe have, you know, whatever's right for them on that day. So that goes on, and then most of the work happens in the community. Our community nurse team, our specialist community nurses visit people at home to consult and advise and help the carers as well, so that people can stay at home. If that's their wish, they want to be looked after at home, we can come to them. And then in the final, literally, last couple of weeks of life, we can have our hospice at home nurses there with people, if necessary, round the clock in the last few days of life.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, you're self-funded, aren't you?
We are one-third funded by the NHS.
Right, OK.
And but two-thirds we have to raise ourselves.
It's only a third of the money, though.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's quite shocking, if you don't...
And again, quite topical, given that we just got this week, the general election campaign has started, and our CEO, Pam Court, is going to be addressing basically all the local politicians and saying, you know, we need your help to get hospice properly funded going forward, because there is going to be this increasing demand. You know, that all the trends show that people are going to live longer. There's going to be more and more people with life-limiting illnesses to be looked after. And at the moment, you're only funding a third of what we do. The other two-thirds, which are now for the best part of £7 million a year, we have to raise from the local community in Brentwood and surrounding boroughs.
This is really eye-opening for me. You have to raise £7
million. Yeah, every year. And we do it. I mean, that's amazing.
Peter!
Yeah, it's a bit of a daunting task. If you sort
of my word! That's an uphill struggle, isn't it?
Well, you'd think that. You'd think that. But thanks to the fantastic efforts of hundreds and hundreds, or probably more likely thousands of local people, we do it. Year after year, we raise that money. Last year, I think year before last, we raised £6.7 million. And we do that by all the sort of things I'm going to talk about later this hour. There's a whole range of different ways that people can support us. To doing our raffles, to joining in events, or legacies are a really important way in the future. You know, lots of masses of things that people can do, and that's why the volunteers bit, going back to volunteers, is so important. If we didn't have those 800 volunteers doing stuff for
we'd have to raise
nearly £2 million more pounds. So thank goodness we have their work and help.
Oh my word, I never realised it was as much money as that. I knew you were almost self-funded, but I mean, even if the government were to meet you halfway, it would be something, wouldn't it?
Anything we've been. Don't get me wrong. We're incredibly grateful for the third of the funding that we do get via the NHS, which these days comes through a thing called CCGs, which are the Clinical Commissioning Group. chapters. So in Brentwood and Billericay, and also from Havering and Redbridge and Barkindaggan, they're the areas we cover. So we're really grateful for that money. But we would dearly like to have more than one third of our costs covered. Yeah.
That is a real uphill struggle. £7 million a year.
But fortunately, we keep going. So, as I said, if you can comment on our strategy document by the 14th of April, pass a comment. That will be really gratefully received. The other thing that's happening today, I should just mention, because it is the 1st of April, certainly no joke. There has been a little bit of stuff in some of the local press recently that might have made one or two people concerned about whether St Francis Hospice was going to continue offering Borough of Brentwood, and let me absolutely categorically assure everyone listening we are and continue to do that. The one little change has been from today there's a service called One Response, which is a telephone number operated by our sister hospice, St Luke's Hospice, who cover a different area to us, other parts of Essex, but for various sort of reasons to do with the clinical commissioning group I just mentioned, who covers Brentwood and Billericay and Basildon and further afield, they are introducing this One Response service across the area. It's a helpline service that people can use anytime, day or night, for end-of-life care issues. That's now going to apply to Brentwood. It didn't do until today.
Yeah.
But it doesn't change anything as far as people are concerned. They can still call us directly if they want to. If they've got our 24-hour helpline number, fine, absolutely, continue using that. If they want to contact us at the hospice, our hospice at home nurses will still be visiting people in Brentwood. Our clinical nurse specialists will be visiting people. People from Brentwood will be coming to our day therapy unit. People from Brentwood area will be coming to our inpatient unit. Everything stays exactly as is. But if you do use the One Response number and you are from the Brentwood Borough area, they'll route it back to us. It's just, you know, it's just explaining. It's just really the mechanics of how it works. But I just want to reassure everyone in case there's been any sort of misunderstanding as to whether we weren't going to continue doing services. Absolutely, we're embedded in Brentwood. We've got two shops in the high street.
Yeah, you haven't, here
for more than the founding members and the founding funders of the hospice were very much from the Ingatestone, Stock, Brentwood area. So we're here to stay. We've been here for more than 30 years. We're hopefully going to be here for at least another 30 years.
Fingers crossed, yeah.
And I just want to explain that. If people want to know any more about that, again, just check on our website, sfh.org.uk, and anything's explained there relating to our services in Brentwood.
Right, well that's covered that part. What we're going to do in part two, we'll come back, we'll play a few ads, and we'll play a little bit of Soft Cell and Tainted Love, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about the fundraising things that you're doing and have done, if you don't mind, because I know you've got bumps on there. As I say, I've just mentioned one on the What's Happening guide.
Yeah, you did, that's right. Yeah.
So, I mean, there is so much going on.
And that's just a perfect example of people. That's not organised by us. That's people in the community doing it off their own back, getting up.
Oh, really?
Getting up and getting organised. You know, we can help them and support them and help them with publicity and other bits and pieces, but people like that doing things all over the time, all over the area, every week, and week in, week out, people collecting money for us, raising money for us, joining in events, and in many cases they're doing the things themselves, so it's great.
Okay, well, we'll be back in just a second, and we'll talk about the upcoming events. Mikey's Breakfast on Brentwood and Billericay's Phoenix FM, Wednesday the 1st of April with Soft Cell and Tainted for St Francis Hospice. On the way next we've got Buffalo Tom. Nice bloke he is, you want to see him. You know what the difference between a buffalo and a bison is, don't you?
Is it one from North America and one from somewhere else?
No, you can't wash your face in a buffalo.
Well, it is the 1st of April, I guess, isn't it?
Do you like that? Do you like that?
Not all.
Don't forget, the St Francis Hospice website is sfh.org.uk. Go and have a look on there. Now, Peter's going to run through some of the bits and pieces that are coming up and the money that you've raised.
Let's start off with some thanks for everyone who took part in the LV Brentwood Half Marathon just the other week.
I saw that. There were bundles of people, weren't there?
Massive. I mean, obviously, not everyone. We had lots of people who were running for us. I forget the final number now. Dozens and dozens of people were wearing the orange vest for St Francis Hospice and raising money for us. So a big, big thanks from us to everyone who did that. I know in previous years we've raised thousands of pounds by their efforts in that event, and I'm sure the same this year. I don't think we've done the final count up yet, but thanks to everyone who took part in that, and good luck to everyone who's preparing at the moment for the Virgin London Marathon at the end of April.
Yeah,
we've got a few runners involved in that. I know a number of them are from the Brentwood area. Got a guy who works at Sky TV, I know, is running for us with a bunch of mates from there, including one of their presenters. So good luck, especially to them and everyone who's running on our behalf in the Virgin London Marathon as well. So if you are thinking you're going to get involved in a running event at some point in the year, and there are plenty of other ones, they're obviously the big ones at the moment, but there are others, including the Bupa 10K, which happens on Bank Holiday Monday, the 25th of May. We have runners in all these different events, and if you want to get involved and think, I could probably do that, then do get in touch with our fundraising colleagues. Again, probably the easiest way is check out our website, sfh.org.uk, because there's details there of all the forthcoming events that you can get involved with, but also help as well. It's not just a matter of throwing you in at the deep end. If you want advice as to how you go about getting sponsorship, some extra publicity, how to set up a Just Giving website, all these sort of things that really make getting involved a running event successful, help people do that. So if you're getting involved with a running event, do get in touch with us, and we'd love to have you running on our behalf. If running's not your thing, we've got a whole range of other things that are far from running. If you like a bit of boogie night, we've got a boogie night disco happening at the Rusk Club, the Romford United Services and Social Club. That's on Friday, the 8th of May, in Morney Road in Romford. Dancing shoes on for soul, funk, jazz and disco from the 70s, 80s and 90s. Starts at 7:30. Tickets just £10 for that. There's a special number I'll give you for this one. If you want to have a boogie on a Friday night in Romford, 01708 771 407. We've done a few of these. They've been very successful as well. Time 01708 771 407 for the boogie night on Friday the 8th of May. And we had a very successful Elvis night. You interviewed
Elvis.
I had
a chat with the Elvis in person.
Salvatore from Barking did a
very
great
good
job for us.
It's fantastic.
And it was a sellout at the Derougemont Manor.
Really?
Yeah, really, really good night. And as a result of that, and that being night being so successful, we've got a couple more nights lined up at the Derougemont Manor, who are very helpfully supporting us. They've adopted us as their Charity of the Year this year. And again, we're very grateful to all organisations and businesses that do that. They're doing that for us. And the next one that we've got at the Derougemont is on Friday the 3rd of July. It's called An Audience with the Ladies. As usual with these events, three-course meal, evening of entertainment, and this time it's an all-female cast of performers. We've got a jazz singer, a vintage singer, and a couple of comedians, Robin Perkins and DJ Lindsay, who performed at the Brit Awards official after-party, so they're pretty good, and should be a great night. Ladies' night, Friday the 3rd of July. Again, you can get your details at sfh.org.uk if you check out our events section, or there are numbers on the website. You can also call up about that. If that ladies' comedy night is not your thing, but Michael Bublé music is, then it's a bit of way away now, but stick it in your diary. Friday the 13th of November, a guy from Brentwood, Joe Freed, excellent Michael Bublé tribute act, the three-course dinner at the four-star Derougemont Manor Hotel, disco as well, and tickets for that, £40, all profits going to St. Francis Hospice. That's An Audience with Michael Bublé, Friday the 13th of November. So there are a couple of things further down the track. In between all of that, if you've got a bike, and now the weather's getting a little bit better, I think spring is finally arriving.
It does look like it at the moment,
We've got a whole bunch of cycling events coming up, starting off with a London to Paris bike ride on the 20th of May. It's a new event for us. We're also doing a couple of these later in the year in July and September. It's a 5-day 230-mile cycle ride, starts at Blackheath and finishes at the Eiffel Tower. Entry is 90 raised sponsorship, but it's a really great way to get involved with the hospice and meet a bunch of friends. If you're into your cycling, do think about joining our London to Paris bike rides. Again, more details on our website. If that's going a bit too far for you on the bike, then we've got a little slightly shorter event happening on the 6th of June, the London Night Rider event. Again, it's organised by us and a whole range of other charities as well, but we always have a good representation of St. Francis Hospice cyclists in this event. So Saturday the 6th of June this year, it's a night ride through the capital, takes in more than 50 famous landmarks.
Oh,
so it's
really?
All organised. It's actually
really
quite cool event. If you're into cycling, but also a chance to see landmarks lit up at night, with it all sort of properly chaperoned and security. You don't have to worry about people knocking you down and all that sort of stuff. A really great night. The theme is films and music, so I think they're going to be having some famous film
that
landmarks.
Fantastic
around the
fun.
Capital. Yeah, it's a really good event, and you can get more details again on our website, sfh.org.uk. Saturday, the 6th of June, the London Night Rider. And probably two more things I should mention, well, a couple of things that people can get involved with, a bit far away, but just to bear in mind the range, the breadth of the different things we can do. Sometimes people want to have their bucket list. They want to sort of think, these things I really want to do. One of those things often appears on people's lists is skydives.
always want to do one of those, but I don't think I'd have the bottle to
not
step out.
Not for everyone.
Out.
It wouldn't be for me, but for some people would love to have the chance. So we've got a skydive happening on Sunday the 7th of June. The deadline to apply for that is April the 7th, so you've got another week to go. Yeah, but if you fancy a skydive, Sunday the 7th of June, don't delay. Get on our website, sfh.org.uk, and apply and join our skydive or that event. You've got until April the 7th to do that. But don't worry if you do miss that deadline. We're going to do another one later in the
week. I've spoken to some people that have done it, and they said it's the most exciting experience I've ever had.
They love it. My son did it, and he absolutely loved it. Wonderful. Wanted to do it again straight away. But
really?
It's not for everyone. It's not for everyone. And that's the real... we need to have a range of different things because we've raised nearly £7 million. It's no good just doing skydives.
No,
that's
right.
People aren't into that. Are never going to help us at all. So
we've
got to do a whole range of different things. By sort of complete contrast, a couple of weeks later, 28th of June, Sunday, we've got a Woofs and Wellies dog walk in Upminster. So if you fancy a nice sponsored walk with your dog, we get the dogs all dressed up. They wear little orange bandanas.
Oh, do they?
Oh, yeah, it's very sweet.
Did you think of that name?
I didn't. No, I can't claim any credit for that.
That sounds like a radio name. Woofs and Wellies.
Woofs and Wellies, yeah. It's quite catchy. And it's a great event. It's for everyone. It's a whole family. It's, you know, young children get involved walking with their dogs as well. So do sign up for that, please, if you can. Sunday the 28th of June, Woofs and Wellies. And lastly, I've mentioned for now, something that's happening literally a stone's throw from where I'm sitting at the moment, at the Brentwood Centre. A date for your diaries, Friday the 14th of August. It's the return of our big quiz. We've done this for a number of years now.
We've mentioned a few of these.
Hundreds of people.
Yeah.
There's a team from Phoenix FM involved
last year,
who we think came... I was going to say third or second. They were pretty good. They didn't win.
Oh, really?
But they were good. They were good. So I'm sure they're going to try and get
the
team
try
in doing
to get
one
the first place. You watch.
Yeah, I bet.
Will.
We've got... Last year, we had one of the eggheads from the BBC TV programme.
Yeah, yeah.
We had a few. This year, we've gone for a whole half dozen. We've got six of the BBC TV eggheads there to help. Basically, what they'll do is they can be bribed to give answers to questions you're stuck on in return for obviously raising money for the hospital.
Oh, really?
So it's one of those where there are rules, but you can also basically spend your way around the rules if
this
you want to.
This sounds a lot of fun. So, I mean, when the Phoenix FM team come back, they said it was fantastic.
Yeah,
really good.
It's a good night centre. I mean, it's just a whole of Brentwood Centre full up. You know, hundreds and hundreds of people taking part in the quiz. Really big thing. But also, we do something a little different. Like some of the rounds aren't just questions, and the questions do literally cover everything from local history. Local events to, you know, politics to general knowledge and sport and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
But we also have rounds that involve music. We also have rounds involving sort of film clips and TV. Rounds that involve doing things as a team, either smelling things or touching things.
Really?
So I think it's a bit different. So and that's always very secret as to what that's going to be, but there will be rounds like that as well. So it's not your sort of typical, just sort of, you know, general knowledge only 20 questions. This is a whole night of entertainment. And we can have teams of up to 10 people are encouraged. So you can have a team. If you're a business listening to us this morning, enter a team, please do. But if you haven't got sort of 10 people to go with, don't worry, or 9 people to go with, don't worry. We'll join you up with other people to make up teams of 10. On the night. It's all happening on Friday the 14th of August at the Brentwood Centre with the BBC Eggheads, and we'd love you to get involved with that. If you want more details, on sfh.org.uk as always, or you can call this number 01708 771 427. That's 01708 771 427.
Don't forget the website, sfh.org.uk. Everything's on there, isn't it, Pete?
Absolutely.
Everything's on the website, so go and have a look there. Well, Peter, we're going to play another song, and then I'll come back and have another chat with you in just a second. Mikey's breakfast on Brent. I'll start again, shall I?
Take two.
I'll trot on my bottom lip. It's not happy. Not happy. Mikey's breakfast on Brentwood and Billericay's Phoenix FM in association with St Francis Hospice. On the way next, we've got Paolo Marina. Confusion sometimes, Pete, because it's called St Francis Hospice. Has it got anything to do with the church or...?
A lot of people from local churches were involved in originally setting it up, but it's a good point, actually. It's really important to emphasise at every opportunity, in case people haven't sort of understood it. The hospice, it's called St Francis Hospice, but it's for everyone. It's for everyone in the borough of Brentwood and the neighbouring three boroughs I mentioned. If you're in that area, you can access our services. If you qualify, if you're obviously in the right category of people to do that, have a life-limiting illness, then you can access our services for free. That's another second.
It's complete. That's another really important thing to mention. Completely free.
Some people think, well, I didn't really want to ask using St Francis Hospice because I thought there'd be a cost, or you know, they know they've got to pay for their services.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything we provide, whether it's massage, aromatherapy, a place in our day therapy unit, nurse visiting you at home, a bed in our inpatient unit, is free. There's no charge
to
people
fantastic.
Using our services. If it's bereavement counselling or family support, again, there's no charge. So there are no charges for what we do. That's number one important message to get across.
Yeah.
Number two, the bit you just mentioned, because of the name and the original origin, some people might incorrectly think, well, you know, maybe I've got to be associated with a church in some way to use the services. Absolutely not. If you're in that geographical area, which includes the borough of Brentwood, you can use our services. Race, nationality, whether you have a religion or faith or no faith at all, doesn't matter. That is irrelevant. It's just a matter of whether you're in the relevant area and whether you meet our criteria for help and service. And your GP or consultant will be able to help you. And
yeah.
So it's amazing and also something sad, I think, sometimes. And I met someone at a GP practice a couple of days ago who didn't realise they could access our services. And I said, well, you know, you're absolutely the sort of person, or your partner is, who should be using our services.
Yeah, yeah.
So please, when you go and visit your GP, say, well, you know, yeah, and he will know whether you're on the end of life register or whether that's an issue, whether you have a life limiting illness, whether you need the help, and maybe you'll find care for someone at home on your own. This is where we can step in and help. But do please ask your GP for a referral if you think it's relevant. Ask your consultant at the hospital if that's who you're seeing, if it's relevant. And you know, because again, one of the sad things sometimes we find is that people make referrals very, very late.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We get sometimes people, you know, brought to our inpatient unit with literally a day to live, and they could have been there for a week or 2 weeks,
really?
And really cared for and made it much less stressful situation. So sometimes the referrals come too late. So if you do think it's appropriate, then please do ask your GP or consultant. That's how people get referred to us. But all the services we provide are for free, and they're for anyone from this area.
Because you do hear of a lot of our struggling where the husband is struggling to look after the wife and she has dementia and she's got limited time to live, and
exactly.
And they do struggle, and there's no need for the struggle.
Well, even if we can only help in a little way, so maybe, you know, the partner coming to our day therapy unit once a week just means for 5 or 6 hours the carer gets a break.
Yeah.
We'll send a volunteer driver to your home to pick the person up and bring them to the hospice, and they may get the help they need and advice as well. And maybe also we do a lot of pain management techniques. Big issue. Again, you've got complicated cocktail of drugs these days in many cases.
Yeah, yeah.
People are a bit confused as what's right. We've got specialist consultants who do really as their main number one job for people in those type of situations.
I never realised you'd done
so
this much.
So they're real expertise, and they can talk to someone, they have time to sit down and really go through what medication people are on and advise. And they will often advise the GPs and the district nurses and the other healthcare professionals looking after people the best way to look after people. That's why we have a 24-hour specialist advice line with clinical nurse specialists doctors or district nurses can call up. If they're not sure, or a carer at home isn't sure what they should be doing, then that's what that telephone number there is to help. So if you think you need the help, think you can get access to help, maybe you don't need it right now, but want to know that, say, in 6 months or a year's time you're prepared, then please do ask your GP or ask your consultant about services. And as I said, check it out yourself, if you like, on our website, sfh.org.uk.
And the £7 million that you actually need extra on top of what the government give you, I'm not surprised you need £7 million, looking at what you actually take on is absolutely amazing.
Well, we've got to pay for 200 doctors and nurses, for starters.
That's what I mean. That's ridiculous. Yeah. But, I mean, I find it very difficult to believe that the NHS only give you one third.
Well,
they should meet you halfway, at least, I think.
It'll be a nice objective, and we certainly would be hoping for more support. But in the meantime, we've got to carry on doing what we're doing. That's why it was set up as a registered charity.
We wanted
to help, because they knew there was a big gap in healthcare services, and it was much worse than it is now. To be fair, a lot of progress has been made, but also there are huge challenges ahead that we've got to face up to.
Now, your two shops in the High Street, do they contribute quite a lot towards the money?
They do. I mean, sometimes people, and in fact, I saw a letter in one of the local papers recently, someone was sort of saying, well, why are you bothered spending money, you know, tarting up, well, they didn't say quite like that, but doing up one of your shops. And the honest answer, if anyone ever queries this, the reason we spend some money on our shops is a very wise investment.
Yeah.
We found consistently, when we spend
a bit of money
and make the shops more attractive places to shop, better places for our volunteers to work in, bear in mind, we're reliant on mostly volunteers in our shops. So, only to be fair to them, we don't want them working in terrible.
Right, yeah, yeah. But
toilet and bath facilities and a nice place to work, and otherwise they won't want to volunteer for us. Mm-hmm. We do all that, and we make more money as a result of doing it.
Yeah,
we do a business case before we spend any money on a shop. You know, is it worth investing? Can we improve what we do in the shop? And then can we make more money for the hospice? And the bottom line is, our shops, and we have 15 of them all around the boroughs, two in Brentwood, they make £500,000, best part of £500,000 profit a year for us.
Really?
Contribute straight towards the nurses and doctors who run the services we do. And we're hoping to do even more than that. So, yeah, if you can help out our shops, number one, by shopping in them, great.
Yeah.
But if you can also give us goods, our business model basically means we... We don't. Some shops buy in a lot of stuff and then just sell it up at a small markup.
Yeah.
Apart from sort of Christmas cards and things like that, everything we sell is really recycled. So it's a very good green message.
Yeah, yeah.
It's also very good for a lot of people clearing homes, and also means we make nice money on what we sell. So please donate goods to us. If you can't get easily to our shops, we've got a whole range of what we call drop spots, places you can go to that are easy to drive up to in a car, empty your boot out, have it, you know. And we take everything from small electricals, we take furniture, we take bric-a-brac, we take clothes, pretty much everything, I think, apart from electric blankets, we'll take.
They're a hard work, the blankets, because they constantly need testing, don't they? You know, wrap them up, don't you?
Don't touch electric blankets. Bar that, apparently everything. We even have electrical testers. We've got electrical shop in a new one in Romford, South Street. We have some volunteers who do the, you know, all they do for us is test electrical stuff to make sure it's safe before we sell. So anything we sell electrical in our shops is basically guaranteed for 3 months because we've been tested and checked out first.
Fantastic. Well, let's give this website a plug again. sfh.org.uk. sfh.org.uk. Peter, come in again and see us very, very soon and
hope
tell
to
us
see
what,
you next month.
What else you're going to be up to. You're welcome anytime you want.
Thanks,
because
Mike.
I want to do whatever I can to help you raise as much money as possible.
Cheers.
£7 million is a lot of money.
It is. Your listeners' help will make it.
Community Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.